Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along, it's the Melchester Odyssey again, and without further ado, let's just get stuck into it, without trying to get too distracted. I have in front of me, propped up on a laptop, the 7th of July, 1984 issue of Roy the Rovers, 22 pence. Incidentally, I just saw, just released this week, or 9 months ago, if you're not IFS, there's another Roy the Rovers Best of the 1980s compilation that's come out.
Is
which
that right?
It seems to cover the period we haven't even got to yet, when Spandau Ballet are signed up.
Yeah, what's interesting is that Roy the Rovers 1980s thing. I bought that years ago before we did this. And so I've now read it. I've had the pleasure of reading that book 3 times. And I'm not sure I've read any book 3 times. Do you know what I mean? Not even...
in your life.
Not even, not even The Calculus Affair, probably my favourite Tintin book, has been read 3 fucking times. But I have read Roy the Rovers 8 because I bought it when I was on holiday about 10 years ago. Then I read it. We went through it originally. That's how this started, wasn't it? And then I read it with Len. And so I'm like, I'm sick to death of it. But I always found it a very strange period because it's very random, the period that it covers. They just pulled out, what is it, like 1982?
It stopped at 1980, I think, and then it just went chronologically. It just went chronologically,
and then it stopped.
The period went, yeah,
but it doesn't stop at a particularly seismic moment. It just like starts at a random point, ends at a random point. Yeah. And I thought,
well, it covers the shooting.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That's the kind of the point of it, I think. But then, it's just chronological for a year and it stops. But this one picks up in about 85 or 86 when Spandau, and Bob Wilson becomes involved, and Emlyn Hughes is recruited. It's when it became really the inspiration for Billy the Fish in Viz. I think when those celebrities are go-go in it, and of course Shaking Stevens signed for Fulchester,
and also don't forget the flame-haired minstrel of pop, Mick Hucknall.
He
signs to them, and he has a walking stick, like, but which is such a weird reference because he basically has a, the thing about Mick Hucknall is he once had a walking stick for one scene in the video for Holding Back the Years,
one song.
But Viz became obviously so amused by that. Which, fair enough, it is hilarious that they just made it something that he always had. And he had a long coat. He had like a flock jacket, didn't he, that was striped.
He did have a long coat and his hair. I think he wore the hat as well, and his hair was kind of everywhere.
By the way, listeners, Andy and I have spoken about off air, but while we were on, when I was on tour, and Andy had already listened to it, if you don't listen to Rock on Tours, which we're both fans of and talk about a lot on the pod, give the Mick Hucknall episode a listen, because there are extremely strong Roy Race vibes going on with Mick Hucknall.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Really good. Like, he's actually quite likeable, but there are very Roy Race vibes to it, aren't there? Even his voice sounds quite Roy Race / John Funny Powder.
It's very good. It's well worth a listen. Rock on Tours, Mick Hucknall. But he doesn't come across as too much of a cunt. I think he comes across as a good bloke.
He's just, I mean, you can tell he's uncompromising. because there's a lot of stories about bandmates and other people who he's had, let's say, disagreements with, usually over money or song rights. And it's had to be, listen, sorry, it's my way or the highway.
My favourite bit is where he's talking about a former drummer and he says he had to let him go because he wouldn't learn how to do programming. Yeah. He just wanted to do drums. And I said, no, the future's in programming. You need to learn.
You need to learn how to train a robot to do what you do to make yourself ultimately obsolete.
Brilliant. Anyway, Roy the Rover, 7th of July, 1984. Sign, please. There's no clues because it just tells you who it is on the front cover. It's Neville Southall.
Whoa, that's a strong one. That is a strong one. 1984, Southall approaching his imperial phase.
There he is in his Welsh kit for this one.
I'm interested to know that if you're an Everton fan of around our age, our generation, we find ourselves talking about Everton quite a lot, I find. Right, but only Everton of the 80s. Right, if you are an Everton fan of our generation, I'm assuming that your favourite player is Neville Southall. If not, why not? I mean, I'm guessing that every Everton fan's favourite player is Neville Southall. And I'm not saying there's not a lot of choice because that team was full of great players. You know, throughout the 80s, they had all these great players. But it's got to be Southall, hasn't it? I mean, if Southall had played for your club, he'd just forever be the number one guy.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd agree with that.
I mean, it's him or Pat Van Den Hout.
Don't get in touch. We don't need to know. I'm not going to do a poll
or anything.
No,
don't get in touch.
Jesus. It's Neville Southall, sign please. There's an interesting bit which is in the talking page, which I'll get to at the end. the story itself, Roy the Rovers, it's four pages, and on the front page, Melchester Rovers player-manager Roy Race was under pressure to sign Carford City's hard-hitting midfield dynamo Carl Hunt. How's he under pressure to sign him? No one's applied any pressure, have they?
Only
Roy's
he
just
has.
Become obsessed with
you
him.
Know who applies the most pressure to me? It's me. That's why I'm so successful. I'm the biggest critic. I'm also my biggest motivational coach. I'm also a professional life coach, but my only client is myself.
I'm also a professional lifeguard. Well, I just do that at weekends during the close season.
It's a sideline. It's
I'm
a great way to meet Fanny.
To sign Carl Hunt.
So I do it less than I used to.
I'm currently pressuring myself to sign Carl Hunt, even though I don't want to, which I think you'll find is the mark of a winner.
I require pressure, even if the pressure is utterly unnecessary. I just thrive off it. It's my food. It's my fuel, if you will. It's what gets me up in the morning at 4 a.m.
High performance, high pressure at all times. He's under pressure to sign Carford City's hard-hitting midfield dynamo Carl Hunt, who had been involved in a tackle which had put another player in hospital, it says here. And that was the Anderson fellow, wasn't it? It was Terry Anderson. It was Terry Anderson's his brother who's turned up in the last week. I've forgotten what Anderson's first name was. We might get to it. It's not massively important. During a six-a-side tournament, Roy suspected that the guilt-ridden Hunt was no longer the player he used to be, but not everyone agreed with him.
I can tell just by watching him, he's fucking riddled with guilt. I know guilt when I see it, trust me. Don't ask me why, but I know it. I can smell it on people.
Guilt, in the sweat.
Guilt and shame. Two things that are very closely related. I feel a lot of shame, Roy. Shame about some of the things we've done to people who stood in your path. They are obstacles that need obliterating in order for us to go where we are going, Blackie. I've been through this with you a million times. Guilt is the most useless of all the human emotions.
You talk to me a lot about shame, Roy. I was brought up a Catholic, but that was nothing compared to some of the things you say to me about the things I do and say and think.
That's why you make me get in that box with you and do a confession when you dress up as a priest. It's necessary, Blackie. It's the only way I know I can trust you. With my secrets.
Secrets are stronger than love.
Write that down. And once you've written it down, eat it. Eat the bit of paper it's written on. I don't need anyone else knowing about this.
Consider it a secret. Does this mean you love me, Roy? Shut up.
Secrets are Stronger Than Love is actually the title of a single that I might be collaborating with two Yugoslavs on this summer to release into the pop charts. It's a guaranteed number one.
I'm just imagining Roy Rees releasing a single called Secrets are Stronger Than Love.
I can picture him quite stiffly shuffling from side to side with a really wide collared shirt under a cardigan. Secrets are stronger than love, and my love for you is not a secret.
It's no secret. So, back to the six-a-side tournament. Carl Hunt has hit a goal from the edge of the little penalty area into the little tiny goal. Yes! The Hunter has smashed Carford into the lead! Roy was watching a group match between Carford and Kelburn. Carl is celebrating his goal, and Roy thinks, but Carl could be heading for trouble. So far, he hasn't clashed with Terry Anderson. Terry Anderson is still just doing that fucking stare that he was doing at Carl Hunt at the end of last week's issue. No words. He's just watching, and waiting for the moment when he gets his revenge.
What's interesting is it's quite prophetic about the whole Roy Keane, Alfinger Haaland situation, isn't it? Because that's what Roy Keane says in his book. He goes, you know, I was waiting for my moment to get revenge.
He didn't chase him around the pitch for half an hour, did he? Trying to trip him up. He waited. Then he struck him.
I know how to wait. I once waited in a small sewage tunnel, unused. It was now defunct. It hadn't been used in years, but it was still there, and I hidden it for 4 hours once, waiting for a kid from the rival school to walk past so I could jump out and steal his skateboard and set fire to it. And I lay in that tunnel for 4 long hours until it became clear he'd chosen a different route home and wasn't coming. So I just got out, brushed myself home, and forgot about the whole thing.
And Terry doesn't believe that the tackle which put his brother in hospital was an accident, thinks Roy, while looking incredibly serious about the whole thing. We just see a close-up of his head with the thoughts emerging out of his right ear through his mask of hair. Continued on colour pages inside were also promised a KP Skips free comics offer inside, which sounds incredible.
I've got a fucking comic in my hand.
Yeah.
But KP Skips are offering me a bonus comic for free. Is it a comic about Skips?
I'll tell you now if you want to have a look.
Do you remember the ad, mate? Frizzly on my tongue. Melt City. Remember that Skips ad?
Yeah, I do now. Now you've said that. Brilliant, yeah, wasn't it? I didn't, but here it is. KP Skips, write free comics. Join our free-for-all. It's amazing. You can read your favourite comics free. Collect 4 tokens, one from any 4 titles that are shown. And the titles are Buster, Whoopee, Whizzer and Chips, 2000 AD, Tammy, Battle Action Force, Roy the Rovers, Tiger and Eagle. Collect 4 tokens,
some very strong comics
from
in
any
there.
Of them.
Very strong comics.
And you send them off with 10 empty packs of Skips.
Oh, lovely.
And
Mam, are they 10 packets of Skips to eat? Mam, if you're going to Safeway, can you get me 10 packets of Skips? I need them now.
Fucking hell. And it's very complicated. And 10 empty packs of Skips plus 12 pence to help pay for postage, and you'll receive the full cost of your comics, 88 pence. So you eat 10 packs of Skips, you buy 4 of the comics to get the tokens, and you send off 12 pence,
and
you get 88 pence back.
This is bollocks.
It's the price of 4 comics.
It's a fucking scam, mate. It's like, by the time you've used all that energy in that, you're better off just going and buying a fucking comic.
Just buy, you've already bought four of them, haven't you, to get the
Go and buy your Whizzer and Chips, which, by the way, other than Rider Rovers, is definitely the one of that set I would be going for.
Yeah, I've got a Whizzer and Chips annual somewhere in the house.
You know that 2000 AD? I never really got into that.
I was never into it.
No, I had mates who were into it, but I just, yeah. And then, I don't know how I got hoodwinked, but recently I went up the comic shop with Len, and like he wanted to spend some pocket money on some, you know, slightly more grown-up comics, like, you know, graphic novels sort of thing.
Yeah.
So he got one Avengers one, because obviously he likes the Avengers, they all do, don't they? And then he goes, I said to the bloke who worked there, comic store guy, right, I said to him, please, I require your advice and the best comic. And so I can't do that voice. I had a go at it, but it wasn't very good. And I said, got any recommendations? Something new he hasn't tried? Leaven, blah, blah, blah. I gave him a bit of a brief. And he picked out a few suggestions, but one of them was, he goes, for me personally, when I was 11, you couldn't beat 2000 AD. It's the best. Right, I loved it, and I think it's like once you get into it, then you'll just want to keep buying it. And I could tell Len wasn't that bothered, and I knew that I hadn't ever been that bothered with it when I was a kid, and yet somehow I was charmed by this bloke, right?
He's an expert.
Yeah, he was an expert, and I went, I think you should give that a go, Len. And I sort of talked Len into it, and he bought it, and it's like, I don't know how much it cost. It weren't cheap. It was about a tenner. And it's just fucking, it's untouched, mate. I read a page of it and I thought, nah, not feeling it. And then hasn't even opened it. And I feel a right cunt now. And so what I'm saying is, I've never learnt my lesson about 2000 AD, ever.
It fooled
me again and again.
You've let your child be groomed there, almost.
By a Judge Dredd fanatic.
In sight, right in front of you. Yeah.
I didn't even watch, you know. They did a movie, didn't they, with Sylvester Stallone? And I have Sylvester Stallone. I'll watch any film with Sylvester Stallone in. There's certain actors I'll watch any film where that they release. But even that I haven't bothered seeing. Must be one of his only films I haven't seen. Couldn't be bothered.
Never into that. Anywhere. The offer's expired now, I believe. So don't try. Don't try and start eating skips and collecting the packets, because it'll get you nowhere. All right, back to Roy the Rovers, second page. Back on the six-a-side court, as I believe they might call them. Soon, it says, now Kelburn are on the attack, and Terry Anderson is taking the ball straight at Carl Hunt. Uh-oh, fucking hell. Hunt is backing away, refusing to commit himself. Unlike the time when he broke the leg of Anderson's brother. Come on, Terry, move it. Spare man on your left, shouts his teammate, when Anderson was finally forced to part with the ball. Anderson's overthought this. Gah! He held it too long. Carford had everyone covered. And Carford have indeed intercepted the pass, giving it straight to Carl Hunt, who's on the move. And there goes Hunt. Back, Kelburn. Get back. He's mine, shouts Terry Anderson. But Anderson is about 6 to 8 yards behind Carl Hunt. Good running, Terry, roars someone in the crowd. Almost a T-shirt. good running.
Good running. Good jumping.
Good running, Terry. Yeah. You can't avoid him this time, Hunt, shouts a Kelburn fan. Get in, Terry! Terry is promptly nutmegged by Carl Hunt. Straight through his legs, Carl swerves around the outside of him and puts it in the back of the net. And in a flash, it says, 2-0, Hunt's done it again. He diddled Terry Anderson without even touching him. He diddled him.
I've diddled you there,
first
cunt.
First instance of a diddle in Roy the Rovers, I think.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase that still gets used? Did they use
right,
that at the
diddling
West Ham?
To me, I think it's got noncy undertones.
It does, yeah.
Oh, he's been... I got diddled with when I was a boy.
Yeah, this bloke sold me a copy of 2000 AD, then he diddled me half an hour later.
By the till. It was a till diddle.
In the back room.
He called it a tiddle diddle. He said it was normal.
And then he wrote down, "Secrets are stronger than love," on a bit of paper.
And told me to eat the bit of paper. So I did, and, well, suffice to say, I never went back to that comic shop again.
Yeah,
you, and you I've never read 2000 AD since. I can't. It brings back too many memories.
Over the page, Terry Anderson says to Carl Hood, "Scared to get too close, eh, Hunt? In case you end up like my brother." Fucking hell. Carl Hood says, "Look, Terry, we've been through all this before. It was a complete accident. I just don't know how it happened. I can understand you wanting to have a go at me, but leave it till after the game." No oh, way,
no
man.
No way, man. Suddenly he's become like he's talking like a member of the Grateful Dead.
I was going to say he's tending to someone for the Woodstock Festival.
No way, man.
Fuck.
Don't no way, man. Back the ball, man.
I need retribution. The physical kind.
Justice for my brother. This is a mad storyline, Andy, because what's happened is that, like, Roy the Rovers is a strip about Roy Race and Melchester Rovers, right? And this is, like, something completely unassociated. And the only... I've just realised the only thing that is tying it back into Roy the Rovers is that occasionally it shows Roy's head looking at it like God.
Yeah.
Observing a completely... This is like they've launched a new story, right, about this Terry bloke.
Yeah.
About what's his name?
Carl Hunt.
Yeah. And it's like...
Couldn't for sure.
And... It's weird. It's like a totally different comic strip, but it keeps cutting once in a while. But only once in a while. Roy's in very few of these frames. Yeah. He's in it, like, on this page, he's only in it once. And you just see him looking down like God, looking from the heavens. Look at what I have created with my mind.
Well, this was it. He had a videotape with it had been taped over, so it all came out of his head. It was imagination stuff last week.
Was it Roy who first used the phrase, you know, via you, mind theatre?
I think it might have been
inside my mind theatre. This is, I think we're just getting a peek. I don't know if any of this is actually happening.
Well, no, because people call radio the theatre of the mind.
Yeah, so this is Roy's mind theatre.
And also, what was that thing? Sherlock, he had a mind palace, didn't he? With Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't know what bollocks. He would touch his temples with his fucking fingers and enter his mind palace.
I tell you what, it's a fucking surprise that at some point Watson didn't spark that fucking cunt. You know, you would, wouldn't you? I think they lived together as well.
He was played by Martin Freeman, wasn't he? He's not a fighter.
I tell you what, I reckon he'd have Cumberbatch.
You think? It would be horrible to watch.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
I bumped into Martin Freeman once. True story.
Yeah.
I've never met him. Bumped into him in a cafe, right, up the West End. He ordered a sandwich. I got talking to him because I'm a bit of a cunt like that, right? Bloke's in there on his own trying to have a sandwich and I've gone up and like, ah, ah, ah. And we had a really really good, enjoyable, in-depth conversation about the Star Council.
But the mod scene.
The Star Council.
The Star Council.
Because I went up and said, I saw you the other night on that Star Council documentary. And then we just, we both had a toasty. And we talked about Star Council about 20 minutes. He was good as gold. And then I fucked off because I thought, come on, Delaney, you've had your fill. Leave him be now. Mm. But very knowledgeable when it comes to Star Council.
It's like when I was in Florida last year and I stood next to Paul Merson.
Oh, yeah, you had a chat with him, didn't you?
In the quick serve restaurant, and I had a chat with him. And then I thought afterwards, what'd you do that for? Leave him alone.
Nah, it's not that bad. It depends on your attitude. It's not like...
Yeah, but...
It's not just bad per se to talk to someone, whether they're famous or not, who you don't know. I mean, I talk to people every day I don't know. I talk to any cunt, right? But like, it's all right as long as your attitude's right, and also read the room. Like, you can tell very quickly if someone's not up for it, and then you just leave them to it. But if you can tell they're not up for it and you keep going anyway, then that's a cunt, I think.
I suppose.
Yeah, you know, human interaction is good. It's a beautiful thing, but you just have to be sensitive.
Yeah. I was at the Madness gig I told you about last Friday night, and so I was stood behind, there was a couple of about 17-year-old girls, two of them. I was there with my kids. I wasn't standing there looking at 17-year-old girls. But one of them was wearing a really small pair of shorts, and across the back, across the arse, let's say, were the words Style Council.
Wow!
And I mean, for that kind of age, they're obviously at Madness on their own, so they're well into Madness.
Fucking hell.
One of them's got Style Council daubed across her arse.
Was it in the Style Council font? Of that for was Sam. It the logo?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You thought you'd take a photo of it for me?
I'll take a photo of that for Sam.
Yeah.
But I thought, no, I won't take a photo of that.
No, especially not with your kids taking a picture of a 17-year-old girl's ass and then trying to say, it's not for me, it's for my friend who I do a podcast with. It's not going to wash.
It's my friend in London.
Yeah, you're going to get nicked / beaten up.
Yeah.
Possibly beaten up by your own children.
I correctly read the room.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're saying. Just read the room, guys. Be sensitive to other people's feelings.
Yeah. Well done,
I'm sure you were sensitive to Paul Merson's feelings in Florida. You know.
I try to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
how are you feeling, Paul? I said.
And you looked into his eyes, and even though he said he was fine, you picked up on something you suspected he wasn't. And then it turns out it's because the hot buffet had run out of hash browns and he was fuming about it.
Yeah. I said to him, you're staying at this resort, I'm staying at this resort. That means I'm as good as you.
Let's be friends.
I'm as good as a footballer now.
I like football. Really. You're a footballer.
Who's your favourite footballer, Paul?
You had a chronic gambling addiction. I didn't.
I can handle my gambling. I could go and have a little flutter now if I wanted to. Wouldn't hurt.
It's fine. I'll take
just a pound.
I can take it or leave it. I won't chase my losses.
Yeah. Read the room. Anyway, back to this. Jeers rang from the Kelburn supporters. Hunt's leaning on Terry Anderson now, the big hooligan. Leave him alone. Yeah. Boo. And all that's happened is, Hunt's just gone up to him with a fist raised. No blows have been struck, but the fucking fans are crying like babies. Hunt off! Hunt off! Roy looks on pensively in a kind of God pose, like you said, and thinks, Hunt's been condemned for his hard reputation. He'll always be the villain, no matter how fairly he plays. A little bit like Roy Keane, I guess. Yeah. And Julian Dix. And Lee Cattermole.
So.
Terry Anderson did everything he could to draw Hunt into physical contact. And Anderson has then thrown himself against the Perspex wall at the side of the pitch. When Hunt's nowhere near him. Look at that.
But that is...
Fucking hell.
Is he crushing someone? But it looks like... it's his reflection in the glass.
It's his reflection, yeah.
Interesting illustration. I mean, that is the thing about playing in those sort of arenas with the walls is that the most I mean, there's always a fight in five-a-sides. When I was in the old Lad Mag game, there was always like yearly five-a-side tournaments between the magazines, which was almost always just a fucking contest in who could get the best ringers. Do you know what I mean? It was never like a right, fair yeah. contest. It was like, who, which fucking professional or former professional have you managed to get down there, sort of thing? Yeah. Or who's got Ralph Little, right? Who's managed to get Ralph Little to play for them?
Ralph Little sitting by the phone waiting every day.
Who's paid Ralph Little the most money this year to come and play for them, right? But there was always a fight, and it was always someone getting slammed into a wall, because it always happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's you get slammed into a wall, slammed into a corner,
yeah.
and it's not nice, and then you lash out. You turn around, you end up fucking lashing out. Someone reached between my legs once in a five-a-side and tickled my balls. Sorry, this is a running theme of this episode, right? And I saw red. I saw absolute red. I think I might have told the story, because what happened was, as a result of him tickling me, like, he didn't do it. It wasn't a subtle nonsense. He did it almost flagrantly to everyone, like, almost to make everyone laugh. But also, I lost possession. And I was so angry, especially as people laughed about it. I turned round, I chased after him, and I executed probably the most horrible tackle of my life. I just went through him from behind with both my feet. Just took it, just completely cleaned him out from behind.
Was there a ball there, or did you just do it?
The ball was there, but I'd made no contact with it at all.
Right.
But he went up in the air. But the bit that annoys me, and I'm sure this is the bit that I remember telling you on the podcast, is that everyone went, whoa, like that, right? It was our regular Monday night game that we played for years, and my brother was in the game as well, my brother. And everyone went mad and ran over. But they knew what he'd done. And my brother did that thing. And this is bad. I bet you've had this with your brother, because brothers do this and you always fucking remember it when they take someone else's side.
Oh,
yeah. It fucking lives with you. He's run over. Yeah. And I thought he was running over to protect me, because everyone was like piling in on me to remonstrate. And he's gone, what the fuck are you doing? And I went, you et tu, cunty. Right? You saw he tickled my balls. You should have been the one fucking going through him to protect me. I had to do it myself. And now I've done the cunt and everyone wants to beat me up. And you're here fucking leading the charge. Not on. Come on, everyone. What? Let's beat up Sam.
Christ.
Yeah. You can't have a fraternal betrayal, can you?
No. I can see why that stuck with you. Mm. So much there stuck with you for so many reasons. Where are we? Yeah, so Anderson's thrown himself against the Perspex wall, even though Hunt's not there. Then he slides in on Hunt. Hunt rides the tackle. But midway through the second half, Hunt shoots again and scores. Oh! Almost broke the back of the net. That's the Hunter's hat trick. So Terry Anderson's not really getting any justice here, Sam, as we go to the fourth page of the story.
Hunter's hat trick sounds like something you'd get on a pub menu in the countryside. Like, what are you going to get? What are you going to get? You're going to get the scampi, or you're going to get the lasagna? Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm looking at these sharing platters here. Have you seen the sharing platters bit? No. Oh, it's on the other side of the menu. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sharing platter. What's a Hunter's hat trick? I don't know. Ask him. I might get it. Excuse me, love. Sorry, excuse me. What's? Could you tell me what the Hunter's hat trick is? Oh, yeah. It's a cheese sandwich, a ham sandwich, and an egg sandwich. What?
That's some chutney.
All on a silver platter surrounded in crisps. Yeah, fuck it. I'll have that. What's that got to do with hunting? Yeah. Oh, that's what the local hunters eat, is it? All right, fine. Yeah, I'll have that.
Well, I want one of them now. Fucking hell.
It's the surrounding crisp bit that make it the best.
Whoa.
Hunter's hat trick, please. Hunter's hat trick and a pint. Lunchtime special. Hunter's hat trick and a pint. £10.
Ham sandwich, egg sandwich was the first one, not chicken.
Ham sandwich. Cheese, ham. Cheese, ham sandwich, egg sandwich. On a platter, served on a platter surrounded by crisps.
Yeah,
a ring of crisps.
Surrounded by a garland of crisps.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know, like the cheese sandwich or the... two of them have got to be meat, I think.
Really?
Out of the three. Yeah, I think they've skimped.
Well, what then? Like chicken?
Well, a chicken sandwich maybe and a ham sandwich. Yeah. Or maybe a beef.
Don't you like a cheese sandwich?
I like a cheese sandwich, but if I'd been out hunting, I wouldn't want a cheese sandwich and a freaking egg sandwich when I came back. I'd need something more substantial than that.
Mate, did you see the email that someone sent us about cheese yesterday? Because I'm still fuming about it.
No,
oh, my God. All right, let's leave it till Friday, because if I start now, we'll be here all day. But we have got a very upsetting cheese-related email.
Oh, Friday's going to be a double episode.
Yeah.
So anyway, Carl Hunt goes off after scoring his Hunter's hat-trick. And now he's going off. He must have picked up an injury. Or maybe Terry's put the wind up him. Put the wind up him. Crowder on form this week.
Put the willies up him.
Yeah. He's giving him the heebie-jeebies. Boo!
You know, heebie-jeebies. The funniest use of that made me laugh out loud is... What's his name, matey boy, Nick? It is the documentary maker. I first met Nick Andy Broomfield. Dawson in 2004. That guy. What's Broomfield, he called again? Nick Broomfield. Right. Have you seen the Biggie and Tupac one? Right. And he turns up in the Nick to... I finally got inside the prison to meet Suge Knight himself. Right. And Suge Knight is in the Nick, and he's like, he's Mr. Big in there, right? He's established himself as the Harry Grout figure.
Yeah.
And he sat there just on his own smoking a cigar, right? And no one goes near him. And he goes, finally, I get the go-ahead to approach him. But at the last minute, my cameraman gets the heebie-jeebies. He's fucking thrown his cameraman under the bus, right? Because the cameraman... according to Broomfield, has shat himself.
Yeah. Good stuff. So, yeah, he's gone off. Then we see Roy and Blackie watching on. Roy says, I don't think he's injured, Blackie. He's taking himself off before Terry Anderson does something stupid. Blackie, having made the game safe for Carford. Oh, God, Blackie's doing some tactical analysis here.
Oh, no.
Through sheer skill in ball type and clever positioning, also in ball type. Even though Hunt may have changed his style, Roy, in my book, he's still the best midfield player in the country. Are you reading this off a piece of paper or something, Blackie? What the fuck are you talking about? Where's
what position do you play, Blackie? How can you not know what position I play? We're best friends and you're my manager. I've never really played. I don't know what position anyone plays other than me.
I only look forward.
I just
towards the goal.
I just say the 11 names. Say 10 names. 10 cunts plus Roy Race. That's how it works at Melchester.
As Rovers embarked on their last group match against Redstock. Oh, finally we're getting to see some Melchester. Nice. Roy thinks Blackie could be right, but this six-a-side stuff is a lot different from the blood and thunder of the First Division. The way he's playing now, I doubt if Hunt would survive. Go on, Roy, hit it! Roy's got the ball at his feet, and he does indeed hit it, but he's not concentrating. He's thinking about Carl Hunt, and it goes wide. Wow! I'm not sure how you pronounce that. It's W-A-W-W-W. Whoa!
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
He's Mr. Sitter. Wow.
It sounds like a Doctor Who sort of soundtrack, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or John Carpenter.
That,
wow.
Wow.
You know, the best
it's
opening
Mr.
to
Sitter.
A song is, which that sound reminds me of, is on, it's the ABC song. I think it's called Together Forever. And at the beginning, it's just computer noises. And then this robot voice goes, speak. And this other voice goes, no. My mate, I've got a mate and we're basically friends. We first became mates because we were both so into ABC at a time when being into ABC was not, you had to keep it quiet, right? Yeah. Like, but we both sort of, we're still friends to this day, close friends, because we both sort of admitted to each other one time, like, look, don't tell anyone, yeah, but I'm fucking really into ABC, right?
Yeah, good.
And now, still, calls me up when I answer the phone, he goes, speak. And I go, no.
Excellent. So what's happening? So yeah, he misses the shot. Whoa! He's missed a sitter. You've lost your shooting boots, Racy. And Roy goes, oh. He can't miss a shot. But Roy's wayward shot had been caused by something which had caught his eye. And Roy looks up at two men chatting. And one of them is, of course, Carl Hunt. The other one, Alec Amore, our temporary chairman. Talking to Carl Hunt. He must have obtained permission from Carford to approach him. Carl, I am approaching you.
How did you obtain the permission?
Carl, I have obtained permission and I'm now approaching you.
Obtain it.
Please submit to my approach.
Carl's like, show me the proof that you have obtained this permission you speak of.
Show me the paperwork in triplicate.
Carl, you're overthinking it. Just remember, secrets, what is it? Secrets are deeper than love.
Secrets are stronger than love.
Stronger than love. Carl looks so much like Terry McDermott, but specifically Terry McDermott in disguise as a shake in this, yeah, in this frame. It's uncanny.
Yeah. Roy is furrowed of brow, and he thinks, looks like I'll have to use all the authority I've got to stop the club from making a terrible mistake. Looks like, once again, Roy is going to go toe-to-toe with the board at Melchester Rovers, which, of course, is one of his favourite pastimes.
All the authority I've got, which is infinite.
And then some.
Infinite authority. Infinity plus one. Blackie. Remember what I told you? What's the biggest number you can have? Infinity plus one, right? That's right. But what about if I said infinity plus two? Shut it, Blackie. I've told you. It's infinity plus one. Don't try and reinvent math, you daft scout bastard.
You can't add two onto infinity, you fucking idiot.
You'd break the fucking world.
Then at the end, that's it. It says next week, and then in inverted commas, we've just signed ourselves a new midfield player. So is that going to be Carl Hunt?
No, fucking it'll probably be, what's his name? That Terry bloke, the brother. Maybe it'll
Terry Anderson. Oh, imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of player I want. So that's it. What do you give marks out of 10 for that then?
10. I love 10. 5-a-side tournaments. I prefer them to 11-a-side tournaments.
I'm surprised because you seemed dismayed because there was very little Roy in it, but then you've gone for 10.
I just thought
it
was strange. I thought it was very strange. I didn't I don't necessarily object. It's just weird. But it's all going on inside Roy's mind theatre. It reminds me of, what was that thing you told me about, St Elsewhere? The twist at the end of St Elsewhere.
Yeah, the entire show had existed in the mind of the autistic son of one of the doctors.
That's what's going on here.
The whole thing.
That's what's going on here with this five-a-side tournament. In the summer months when the season's not on, I think David Skew just was portraying what was going on inside Roy's dreams.
You pray, possibly, over the summer. There's one thing in the Roy Race talking page, which it says, I'll just read it out. From Thornton Heath, Surrey, Nicholas Timothy Howe sends in an intriguing question. He asks, please could you tell me which match has had the most sendings off to date?
Oh, good.
I doubt if anyone could come up with the equal of the Spanish League game in March 1976, in which all 22 players were given their marching orders.
Hey! 1926?
76.
76? Wow!
This is just quite recent, yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait for Len to come home from school because he lives for that kind of fact.
I'll send you a scan of it so you can read it.
Yeah, brilliant.
Here we go. The teams involved were Tejerio and Cesebra, and the referee was Jose Barbeto López.
Great name.
Yeah. Soon after sending no less than four players for an early bath, for fighting. He disallowed a goal for offside. His decision resulted in the remaining 18 players getting into a mass punch-up, and they too were sent, inverted commas, packing.
Hey, all of you, I send you packing.
Here's the best bit. Senor Lopez then made a mock bow to the near-rioting crowd and together with a police escort marched off the field of play himself.
Now I send myself off.
After I take a bow. I sincerely hope we never see anything like this take place on the British scene, Nicholas.
It's entirely
unlikely. Our temperaments are a lot less hot-blooded than the Latins.
You know what the Spaniards are like, and all the Latins, foreigners in general, yeah. Apart from the Germans, who are very cold-blooded like reptiles.
Like robots.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, that's it. It's been a good one. Mm. And we'll find out who this midfielder is next week that Melchester's going to sign. If indeed it is Melchester, it could be another team. Yeah. Don't know. Thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.